Sharing some content that we use for a lot of our discipleship kinds of things, just tools that we can use to help us be encouraged in our growth towards Christ-likeness, to be put on a journey, things that we can intentionally do. Some of those, like one tool that we just handed out there, it'll be explained more once that sheet that you have in your hands there. But last week, we talked about one of these things that are part of our DNA that just started with the letter I. We had information, imitation, and innovation. Those of you who are here, you might remember that. But often we get lots of information, like I know a lot of you listen to more sermons than just one a week. You listen to sermons online. YouTube is an amazing place to go get a ton of information. I listen to a lot of different sermons also. I learn a lot because there's a lot of information. But we're well served to not just get information, but to also receive some kind of something or somebody that we can imitate, to have imitation, so we're gradually, slowly, or even quickly becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Now, we don't have to do things exactly like what we see in the imitation side of things, because we should actually innovate. We're not going to be the person we're innovating, like the disciples. Peter was Peter. He was not Jesus. But he did a lot of things that were like Jesus. He just innovated and did it his own way. So we've tried to program these kinds of things before, like let's set up a bunch of small groups. And then I told you this last Sunday, like, and then 6 weeks later, we've passed along all the information, but imitation failed. And so the 6 weeks are up and the group quits. And then 6 months later, we start another round of small groups. And so there's some reasonable amount of success in terms of like, well, we got numbers, yeah, all right, but not really discipleship happening. It's just information being transferred from one person to a group of people. I don't think that's a great model. So what we're going to do is, and I highly recommend this, do we have this for the screen? Maybe not. That same number, 740-227-4838, that is our like text number that comes. If you text the word follow to that number, text the word follow, because we're just following Jesus, following what God wants us to do, text the word follow, then it's going to send you a survey so we can kind of see where you're at. Like, how are you doing? Like a mid-pandemic or towards the end of a pandemic check-in, like how's your spiritual growth happening? So some of you have done that. No need to do that again if you've done that already. But at least text the word follow, and then that link will come to you so you can participate in that. Now we're moving on to a different tool. I just simply call it Up In and Out. You can see it there on the sheets that you have in front of you. I grew up on a farm. Actually, my sister's here too. My sister and I, we grew up out in Croton. Anybody here of Croton? Woohoo! Northwest Licking County. All right. Yeah, chicken farms and Hartford Fair. All right. And I went over to my grandpa's farm a lot. He was 3 miles away. I ride my bike over there almost every single day in the summertime and just spend all the time I could over there at their farm. But one of the best things about being over there was actually getting to go to town, Johnstown, you know. And in Johnstown, everybody knew my grandpa. My grandpa had been a dairy farmer, but he was also a bus driver for Johnstown and Northridge schools and stuff. So everybody knew him. And they'd just be like, oh, hey, Delmer, how you doing? Is that not the oldest name ever? Delmer. And Geneva was his wife. Like, you can tell how old they were. He was, like, regionally famous in Johnstown. No, he did not know a stranger in Johnstown. In fact, that's the words people used to describe him for his funeral. He did not know a stranger. Like, he was just out there with everybody. And now, whether that was caught or taught or whatever, I'm a little bit kind of the same way. I remember as even a young person, like, we went camping, and there was this putt-putt place, and we went putt-putting. I just quit putt-putting, and I started talking to this guy leaning on a fence post. You know, I'm like 10 years old talking to this guy, and my parents were like, Where's David? They called me David then, but like, where's David at? I'm Dave now, but where's David at? Like, oh, he's just like his grandpa. He doesn't know a stranger. And that, like, in the 80s, that was okay. You know, these days we'd be careful of that sort of thing. But one of the things I really missed during the pandemic was going to sporting events, seeing people, hanging out with people. We're doing track right now with our kids. Like, it's kind of an insane schedule, but I love just being out, meeting people, seeing, you know, just saying hi and being a part of those things. I miss that about our Play Cafe downstairs. It's not fully open like we used to be, where there would just be dozens and dozens of families maybe every day coming in, and we could just be out there talking to people and just telling stories. So one might call me extroverted, right? That's what we would call that sort of thing, extroverted. But I realize not everybody's wired that way. And not everybody enjoys being out there. You guys are like, Dave, you're out there, all right. Yeah, so my wife, Bethany, not so much. She's not so much out there that way. When we were first married, it took a long time for me to understand this, okay? I was all about having people over to the house, going to their house for dinner. Like, I'm not the fastest learner in the world, so it took me a while to realize that it was not a pleasant thing for her to come home from work with eight of our closest friends there at the house waiting for dinner. Like, that was not her idea of a good time, even though I was like, this is awesome. We have a community. This is great. You know, it's not a treat. But her preference is to have a few very close friends that we can have occasional deep conversations with. My preference was to have dozens or maybe hundreds of very casual friends that whose name I might know. There's a difference in how that works. We have two dimensions. We have out, that's me. We have in, that's perhaps Bethany. But there's also a third dimension that we're going to discuss today, and that's up. So I'm going to ask you this, though. Where are you on this spectrum of, we got this here, like, where are you? So I'm bring them on. That's me. I'm over here. I'm out. But maybe you're over here. Leave me alone. I was thinking about putting pictures up here, like maybe Ted Kaczynski on the one side. Remember him? Like, he was like, just leave me alone. But it's just very damaging what he did. And then maybe Miley Cyrus on the other side, like, ooh, let's party all the time. So where are you on the spectrum of, like, perhaps introverted, perhaps extroverted? So here's the thing. We probably should not be all one side or the other. We hadn't ought to be only introverted, or for me, only extroverted. For the one who likes 1,000 surface relationships, we need to build some sort of deeper connection, deeper bonds on the level of in. And for those who are kind of like that safety of that introverted nature, the being really close with just a couple people, you probably ought to get out and get to know a few more people. So today, we're going to talk about this tool, the in-out and up tool, up, in, and out, whatever you want to say it. We're going to move to this tool today that I use to evaluate myself very consistently. I do it all the time, because if I don't, I'll generally be stuck on the out. I'll just be out, out and up. Those are my two primaries, and I won't cultivate very many inward relationships. So I know, though, that this is repetition for some of you who've been along the journey with us for a while. We did a whole series on Up and Out back in 2019. So this is a refresher for you. But like I said, I evaluate myself on this stuff. So take a minute, you know, or 30 here with me, to evaluate yourself, how you doing on up, in, and out. And is there more sheets back there? There's more back there if you need one. You can go get one. It won't distract anybody. But if you're new with us, I'd also like to say that now you know a little bit of our DNA. Like, these are things that we do. Just want to cultivate this as part of our church. All right, so we look at Jesus for our model that we can imitate. Information, imitation, innovation. We're going to imitate what Jesus did, although we can't do it exactly like he did. We'll innovate on that. So here's Mark chapter 1. 35 through 39. Mark 1, 35 through 39. It says, "And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. So Jesus is just starting out his ministry. He's collecting his disciples here in Mark chapter 1. They're not all named. I don't think in Mark he's gotten to that point yet. He's got four of them with him. So he's got Peter and the others. And they're actually staying the night right here. They're staying the night at Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house. It's very interesting. If you read the previous couple verses, she's actually sick. And they like I did, you know, back when we were first married, like, "Hey, guess what? We got tons of people coming over." Well, Peter brings in tons of people to his mother-in-law's house. How dangerous is that? And then she's sick, so Jesus actually heals her, and then she gets up and she serves them, which is kind of interesting dynamic there. Well, Mark says that early in the morning, while it was still dark, he went to a desolate place to pray. He went to a desolate place early in the morning while it was still dark to pray. How many of us get up before sunrise to pray? Actually, probably some of us do. I actually do. I don't intentionally wake up, but I wake up and I go, I do my Jesus time then. Some of us do that. But that's a thing that Jesus would do. He would get up. He would get up and he'd go to a desolate place to spend time on his relationship with God. He did it while it was quiet out. He would just go pray. He was just building his relationship with God. It was upward movement, upward relationship with God. Jesus gained strength from his upward relationship with God to do outward works of ministry. So he was just being with God, spending time. We might use the words wasting time. Don't we say that? Like time is a commodity, isn't it? And we can spend time and we can waste time, right? Just like money. Those are words that we use. We're going to talk about time on Mother's Day because mothers, that's what you guys struggle with. Prayer is this time that he's using to invest. Invest, not waste, not spend. Invest in his upward relationship with God. Bethany used to ask me when we were dating if I would take a walk with her. And like, I just hated taking a walk that had no destination. You know, like, we're going to take a walk and just wind up here? Like, that seems dumb. No offense. But I told her no so many times that she doesn't even bother to ask anymore. But back in those days, I actually had a real job and I worked for a living. I was doing excavating, wearing boots all day. My feet killed me by the end of the day. I was like, I'm not walking any more than I have to. But what about if we took a walk with the Lord? Just spend time together walking. You've heard that phrase, walking with the Lord. We're walking with the Lord. Maybe with no particular destination, but simply to invest time with God. You see, I'm very careful about the language I'm using. We're not spending it. We're not wasting time. We're investing time with the Lord by taking a walk with him that has no particular destination except to talk and just know God and let God know you as if he doesn't already. Investing time with God points to an upward dimension of our relationship with God. We do this the form of corporate worship, right? We've spent some time doing that with music this morning. Now we're hearing a message out of the Bible. We do that on Sunday mornings, but we also do it with daily devotions. Probably some of you have good daily devotional habits, time in prayer, singing praise music outside of this moment. Maybe you like to sing in the shower, in the car, around the house as you do work or whatever. That's also spending time with God. Whatever you do that helps you connect with God to enhance your relationship with God, that's up, all right? That's that first dimension we're going to talk about, upward relationship with God. Now, on that sheet, there's questions to evaluate yourself. How am I doing with up? How am I doing on that? Do I make enough space for prayer? Am I noticing God's strength and power more and more in my life? Am I living in a state of peace? Am I obedient to God's prompting? Those are Those are just guides. There's more on the sheet for you if you want more. But these are just things you can contemplate. How am I doing with my upward relationship with God? You can go through that and ask yourself which one or one of those questions in that column just pop up to you. Maybe you got to investigate, dig a little deeper, self-reflect, like, what's happening? Why do I not like that question? Or maybe why can I celebrate that question? I'm really good at it. What's happening here? So those things, just evaluate yourself on how that works. The word I most associate with up is when. It's a time thing. When do I work on my up? For me, it's always in the morning. Currently, I'm almost halfway through a three-year journey through the Bible. I used to do like Bible in a year. Now I'm doing Bible in 3 years, and I'm journaling through it, just writing about it. So I do that almost every morning. Last year, when the pandemic hit, I increased my uptime tremendously. Man, I was praying, and like many of you were. But now I hit a little different stride, and I don't spend as much time in prayer, but I do a lot more reading. And I used to feel guilty about those things. Oh man, I'm not praying enough. I need to pray more. I feel guilty about it. But now I realize there's rhythms. Whatever God leads, I just do, and I don't feel guilty about it. If I've missed a day or two of journaling, it just is that day. And I'm not going to make it up. It just is. The point is to take God with you wherever you go, so that whatever you do, whatever act you have, can be an act of holy, even if it's in the mundane. I like that term, the holy mundane. Like, I'm doing laundry for Jesus, or doing dishes for Jesus, just praising God for whatever is going on. So when is your up? And I think it's probably different for everybody, but everybody should have it. If you only have an hour and 10 minutes every Sunday of up, I'm telling you right now, it's not enough. You need more. You need to spend more time cultivating your relationship with God. Just being honest with you, that is not enough. If you only give him an hour a week, there's 168 total hours in a week. I think all of them could be holy. Unless you're doing a plumbing project, and then bets are off. I got a washcloth stuck in the garbage disposal last Sunday. That was not a holy time. That was frustrating. Jesus' uptime was early in the morning before dawn, a time where it was quiet, where he could get away for just him and God and just spend time together. So the story goes on, verse 36, 37. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everybody's looking for you. Everybody's looking for you." This was Jesus' inn, actually. Simon and those who were with him. There's four disciples that were previously named in here. Jesus eventually developed a group of 12 men. He took them with him wherever he went. Right now, it's just Peter, Andrew, James, and John. But within the 12 that he eventually develops, we know about 12 disciples, right? He actually had three. There was three close guys, Peter, James, and John, that were really his crew. And so what we see here is Jesus using his strength from his upward relationship with God and then connecting with his disciples, the inn, his close-knit group. Now, he had other people on his inn. You could say Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were part of the inn. You could say Mary Magdalene was on his inn. They're named people throughout the Gospels that we know were also connected. The important thing for you and for me is to have someone on your inn. Or in your inn. How would I say that? You got to have somebody there. People that help you grow. Last week you used the word imitate. People that you can imitate in your life. They console you when you're struggling. They celebrate you with you when good things come your way. They bring a meal for you when you're sick, and then you do it for them, vice versa. I think you can evaluate yourself on the inn, also on your sheet. You can ask yourself these questions. Do I love the people in my church community? Are the people around me? I know some of you are new. You don't know anybody yet. But do I, could I see myself loving the people around me in this room? Am I resting enough? I think that's a great question. Boy, that's probably earlier in the pandemic. Yeah, you're getting tons of rest. Now we're getting busy again. Are you resting enough? How are my relationships with my friends? How easy is it for me to trust people? Am I making myself vulnerable to others? Ooh, man, all these questions sting for me, to be honest with you, because I don't do in very well. Now, the word I most associate with in is who. So when do you do your up, but who is on your in? Who can challenge you without you taking offense? Oh, can anybody challenge you without you taking offense? Who can you challenge? Who loves you enough to let you be you, but also not enable you to stay in your own mess? It's like, I love you. You can be you. But come on, let me help you get out of this particular situation that you're in. So who is your in? Jesus had Peter, James, John. He had 12. He had a few more beyond that. We are created beings in the image of the Father to be in relationship with one another. And when we get involved enough with others, our world opens up so that we don't only see the things that we want to see, our blinders that we have on. We can start to see things as other people see them as well. All right, back to the story. We got up, we got in, and once Jesus' in-group catches up with them, they say, everybody's looking for you. That's kind of his out. It starts the out. Here's what he says in 38. Jesus said to them, let's go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came. What? Out. That's why I came out. And he went throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. It's just one example of out. There's tons. Actually, this sort of pattern of Jesus up, in, and out is displayed many times throughout the Gospels. We'll see this pattern over and over. So Jesus used the strength of his upward relationship with God the Father to fuel his inner relationships with his disciples before going out to do the work of ministry and mission and service into the broader community. Jesus' out includes the 72. Remember the 72? He sends them out to villages to do what he's doing, to imitate what he's doing. Jesus' out includes the 5,000 men that he fed in one day. Probably actually had about 10,000 or more, because including women and children. Jesus' out includes the Samaritan woman at the well, the blind men in Jericho, in Bethsaida and Siloam. Jesus' out includes overturning tables in the temple and encountering a woman caught in adultery. Okay, we know the stories of Jesus doing these things out in the community. Out is where mission happens. Out is where you put the tools to work that you got from up and in. And now we can go out and we can go do these things with strength and confidence. We start seeing the fruit of the kingdom when we go out beyond ourselves. So how are you doing on out? You can evaluate yourselves on that as well. Do I have a heart for people not living the story of Jesus? It's a good question. Do I have a relationship with people who aren't yet Christians or don't yet have a faith in Jesus? Am I dying to my own success? Am I proud of the gospel or am I ashamed of the gospel? Do I intentionally spend time with the poor? Do I find it easy to recognize people of peace? Am I generous with my finances? It's a good question. There's more on the list, actually. The word I most associate with out is where. Where? When is your up? Who is your in? Where is your out? Out always involves a who, but it also always has a geographical location of where. Notice all the men, the people that I talked about, Samaritan woman at the well, blind men in Jericho, Bethsaida, Siloam, overturning tables in the temple, encountering the woman in adultery, that was also in the temple. Like, there's always a place where you go to the out. Out involves a who, but there's always a geographical location. Work. You go to work. You go to school. You go to the ball field. You go to your relative's house. You go to the gym. You go to the bar. You go to Vertical 196. As you encounter people there. For Engage New York Church, we normally have Little Arrows Play Cafe. That's our out. We have an intentional out that we can encounter people. When is your up? Who is your in and where is your out? Now, Jesus navigated all these things seamlessly. Of course, he's deity. It's a lot easier for him, you know? Like, oh, you got that whole deity thing working for you. We're human, 100% human with no deity, except for the fact that we're made in the image of God. Doesn't mean we are God. So I started out by saying that I evaluate myself on these things pretty regularly. And I do because, like I said, if I don't do that intentionally, I'll just favor the thing that I enjoy the most. And then I'll lose an aspect or a dimension of my relationships with people. I probably wouldn't cultivate deeper relationships. I probably wouldn't spend time in self-reflection. I definitely wouldn't take aimless walks with the Lord. I'd probably have a whole lot of fun with my friends, though. For me, I have to look at it. Instead of wasting time with the Lord, I have to say, I'm going to take time to invest in my time with the Lord right now. I have to say, I am going to loosen up the control I have over myself and be vulnerable with this friendship that I have. I have to be intentional about it. Now, churches can take on personalities and cultures as well. Think about church experiences that you've had growing up, and maybe even evaluate Engage New York Church. I certainly do regularly. I evaluate Up In and Out for us in terms of our ministries. How are we doing Up In and Out? In terms of our finances, how are we distributing our finances that you've given us to do this Up In and Out properly and well? So think about this as we go through it, about any church experience you had. Here's what happens if we have up, out, and no in, all right? If we're a people, individuals or churches as well, because the church will take on the personality of not only the leader but also the people of the church. If we're up and out but we have no in, it's kind of, we have an emotional worship service, that'd be great, you know, but and we would probably have the outward appearance of success because lots of people would come. They want to be where the Holy Spirit is and like the emotional thing that's happening there. But with no accountability, there wouldn't be, let's see, are we on up, out, no in? There's no depth to that because we haven't cultivated an inward relationship with each other and seen what other people see in terms of what the Bible's saying to each other. All right, so that's up, out, no in. I've got them out of order on my thing. What's the next one? What was the last one? Now I'm getting confused. Up, out, no in. This next one is up, in, no out. Yeah, okay. All right, so the culture that we create there is we're highly educated in the Bible, and we're insulated against the what seems to be worldly on the outside. Like, we become very holy and pious, but we're focused only on self-preservation, okay? No, don't darken us with your mess that you have. We're not going to connect with real folks on a real level. All right, here's the last one. We're out and in with no up. Here's the church cultures. You have, basically, it turns to activism. Yeah, we're great on like serving the community. We got a soup kitchen. We got all these things going on. And we're activists, but without the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit. Very well-educated people, good hearts, meeting needs in the community, but there's no spiritual impact happening in that kind of culture. Do you see how we need to have balance in each of our lives? And as a church, we need to have balance of up, in, and out. When we get the three dimensions right, here's what I think happens. When we do all of them well, I think church happens. That's when we see church really happening. I heard this recently. We've heard the phrase, we're in the world but not of the world. Have you heard that phrase? I grew up with that phrase. Be in the world, but not of the world. But the problem with the American evangelical church these days is we've become of the world, but not in it. We've pushed away every influence of the world, but then we'd look just like the world anyway. But when we do up in and out well, we become the real church. Not just a place you go to, not just an event to observe. The church becomes a body of people on a journey together. It becomes the fruit of cultivating intentional, invested, and involved relationships with others. And when church happens, when we really do this well, when the church really starts to happen, not just Sunday morning event, we start to engage a culture that is full of violence, that will celebrate the loss of life. We'll engage a culture that does not question why a 15-year-old girl feels safer with a knife than without one and then loses her life. We'll engage a culture that does not understand what true liberty, justice for all really means. The church, when not insulating themselves from the outside world, we can receive power from up on high. We gain wisdom from one another, and we can truly be a counter-cultural movement and turn our entire world upside down. That's what we can do when we move into up, in, and out properly. Here's what I'd like you to do. Take the sheet, spend a week on it. All right, if you have devotional time, do this as part of your devotions. Think through one a day. You know, I know that's only 3 days. Then do it over again. Do it again. I sent a text out this morning on our Text in Church app that has a link to that. So if you're online, I put a link also in the comments so you can have that, a copy of that. But like last week on information, imitation, and innovation, I'm not going to program anything. I'm not going to coerce you into doing some kind of a program or a small group or whatever, mostly because I don't know where you are. Like, what good does it do for me to, like, try to put you in a small group if really you ought to be moving into the outside? You know, maybe you need more out involvement. Maybe you need more up. I don't know where it's at for you. So in order for us to be in communication together, in order for me to help guide you individually and collectively as a church, I'd really love for you to just text the word follow to that number, 740-227-4838. Fill out that form so we can kind of just gauge where you are, because we want to help you where you are and help you take next steps if you're ready to take next steps. It's under the power of the Holy Spirit that can guide you in taking those steps. We are taking a journey with Jesus. This is just one of the road marks along the way, up, in, and out. When you start to align your relationships like Jesus modeled them, you can start to find balance in your life. So this week, take the sheet. During your up time, evaluate yourself. Give yourself a score, you know, just say it. Like, man, I'm a 3 right now. And that'll help you find a place where you grow. You can't cultivate growth if you don't know where to cultivate and you don't know where to grow. When is your up? Who's in your in? And where is your out? Let's pray. God, as we continue to navigate the life that you've given us in this world, yeah, we don't want to be of the world, but help us to be in it. Help us to have a confidence in what you're guiding us to do, and help us to have dedicated time, dedicated space for cultivating a relationship with you in an upward way. Help us to be vulnerable with people around us so we don't take offense from them if they speak into our lives. May we also have relationships that we can speak into other people's lives. And believe it or not, we have people imitating us. May it be a life worth imitating. Help us to grow so our lives are worth imitating. Help us, Lord, also to take bold steps, whether be with our generosity towards others through giving, whether it be spending time with somebody who's different than us. Help us to be able to show your love to them, that love that's overwhelming, love that's uncondemning, but love that says, come on this journey with me. Come on, I'm going to seek Jesus. Would you like to come? Help us to be bold with that and understand that you're going to be with us every step of the way. Lord, we just ask that as we take a journey together, that we could know you as we become more like you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.